That has got to be one of my favorite songs. I mean,
mine too.
I gotta tell you, and it's so appropriate to have Michael Harrison on to with Talkers Magazine, and let's do this first. By the way, Michael Harrison is the founder, publisher, editor of Talkers Magazine, which, by the way, is the leading trade publication in the industry of talk radio, television, internet, satellite, podcasting. Michael, first of all, good morning. We just don't talk to each other as much as we really should.
I know, but you know, we're busy men.
we're busy men. But let me, and I'm going to start with this. I've been in this like you, most of our adult life. Can somebody please explain to me what is the difference between talk radio as we know it, and as I've been doing it, and podcasting?
The difference?
Yes, or whatever. Describe it. I mean, podcasting is everywhere. Everybody's got a podcast.
I guess it's like asking, what is the difference between a film, you know, a motion picture, and a video? We're living at a time when we have so many different platforms that overlap that the question is rhetorical. I could give you a two-hour answer, but I'm going to avoid doing that. Let's just say we live in a time when media platforms are not separated as they were in the 20th century, when there was print and the only way to get print was on paper, and there was television and the only way to get television was on a television set. There was radio, which was an audio medium, and you can get it on an AM/FM device. And if you wanted to see a Hollywood film, a cinema, you went to a movie theater. And I think the most confusing thing started to happen when films started to play on television. They'd call it the TV movie of the week. And we started to wonder, what's the difference between a radio playing music or going to a record store and buying a record? And that was the beginning of what we now have, is this big mishmash of media. So the answer is just different platforms and different programming techniques, but basically they're the same.
So when I my producer Sam Nassau, I've asked him this question. I've asked the folks at SiriusXM same question, and they basically said to me, "You're doing a podcast." Oh, okay. I take calls, but most podcasts that I listen to or I hear about, they don't take calls.
Okay, now you're talking about programming differences. What you're doing as a radio show can be presented as a podcast, but if you were to specifically design your radio show to be a podcast, in other words, to be played at different times, not to be time sensitive, not to have an immediate interaction with the audience as talk radio does when you take calls, then there's a difference. Back to what I said before, what's the difference between a motion picture and a television show? You could make a movie for television, or you can make a movie for a movie house, and it's the same thing. You could make conversation for a live radio show. You could record that and play it back as a podcast, or you could make a special program specifically designed for the dimensions of a podcast, and that would be perhaps more of a podcast than a radio show being distributed in the form of a podcast. Beyond that, it gets even more complicated. But if you stop and think about it, it's really simple. You can't do a podcast that's live and up to the second in an interactive way with an audience, which you can do on radio. And thus, radio is distinctly different than the broader area mm-hmm. that we call podcasting. You could do a podcast as well as have your radio show rebroadcast in the form of a podcast, but that would be, you know, a different kind of program, different adherence to the dimensions of space and time, and it would be more work for you.
Well, I'm going to tell you, this will be a podcast. We just spent the first half an hour talking with Christian Cooper, who has a new bird watching special. I want to make sure I get it right, but brilliant. I mean, just a brilliant mind, very much an activist. But it's going to be a podcast, and so is this conversation that we're going mm-hmm. to have with you. I mean, it'll be an hour podcast. That's what you're, in essence, what you're talking about. Okay, got it. I think I get it. I can. So I am doing both.
You've always gotten it. I think you're just giving your listeners some insight. I think you inherently understand a lot more about this medium than you say, because look at the longevity and the impact of your career in audio communications.
Yeah, well, you give me more credit than I give myself on this one, but I get it. I honestly get it. Now, let's talk about the ComFad you just had. You do this every year. What was it like this year? Anything surprised you? This is where
still able to do it. when you say we do it every year, people in my company joke because I always say I think that's the last time we're ever going to do it. And they go, sure, you always say that. But the truth of the matter is, each one of those is done in a specific set of situations. There's different crises facing the radio and audio and talk industries. So I'm always surprised that we continue to pull it off. There are very few conventions in the radio industry that have the kind of consistent longevity that the Talkers Conference has had. This was our 26th consecutive one.
Wow.
And we did five before that under a different name with a different corporate involvement. So we've actually done about 30 of them in a row. And so that surprises me. Beyond that, no, we're fully prepared. We understand what's going on in the business. These conferences are for people in the industry. They're not meant, they're not fan conferences mm-hmm. or festivals. And we know specifically what the issues are. As a matter of fact, what you and I have just talked about is one of the ongoing issues. How do you package programming? How do you deal with the fact that some players are operating with radio stations, which involve an entirely different set of financial and legal implications at a time when people are able to put out programming with the most fabulous technology from their basements at home without any entrance fee, without any legal requirements or regulation, and without any investment. It's a very, very complicated time. It's not a stable time. So those are the issues that we deal with, and then some. You know, there's this conversation about the issue about AM radio and cars.
Well, you just got you led to my – that was going to be my next question. What's going on with AM? And, of course, the headline was that, it's passé. I mean, they're talking about taking out of cars.
Well, on some levels, we're heading toward that, but AM radio has a very special place in the heart of the culture of America and the world. And the question is it premature? Is the AM radio a disposable entity the way cassette machines, CD players, and 8-tracks are? And the consensus among politicians, the consensus among broadcasters, and the consensus among listeners around the country is no. AM radios are not yet replaceable. We need at least another 5 or 10 years before we can safely say, yep, it's time to just face the facts that everything is digital and it's all one big platform and it's in that modern dashboard that looks like the bridge of the Starship Enterprise. And that's the way it goes. But we're not there yet. We're not at a place yet where we get rid of newsprint. We're not yet at a place where we get rid of movie theaters. So we're in a transitional period, and the automobile manufacturers are jumping the gun because it's cheaper for them to produce cars without having to put AM and FM radios. And people should know when AM radios go, FM radios are going to go as well.
They'll be next.
Basically
they'll be. Now, I got to tell you, as you were talking, and Michael Harrison, by the way, is the founder, publisher, editor of Talkers Magazine. Can you believe it? I remember when it got started.
Well, you and I worked at the same radio station in Washington, D.C.
Yeah.
At the very beginning of Talkers, it was only a couple of years old, and I was helping out. I was doing the mornings at WRSC for 5 months while they were looking for a new morning host, and you were on that station. And that was back in the days when talk radio was not defined by either politics nor race.
It was just conversation.
Right.
It was conversation.
Boy, has it changed, hasn't it?
Oh, my goodness. I mean, that's just the way it is. And as you were talking about AM, my grandchildren, who refer now to me as boomer, which, by the way, I'm owning. I'm going to own it. I'm going to own it. You know, boomers run the world. You know, so anyhow. But
well, that's a whole other story. I'll just let me throw in one sentence. Generation X, Generation Z, and millennials have disdain for boomers. Boy, they don't like us.
They really don't like us. I did not realize.
It's amazing.
You know, I did not realize this. I was with a family friend. My daughter came in to visit, and she has a friend whose father has a young son who's got to be about, I don't know, 10 or 12 years old, and he refers to his father, not his father or pop-pop or that. He calls him Boomer. Catch up with me, Boomer. And I didn't realize that it was a word of disdain.
It's upsetting, isn't it?
No, it didn't upset me because it had a whole new connotation with me.
Mm-hmm.
And I said,
well, what goes around comes around.
I said, well, I'm going to own Boomer. y'all can call me Boomer. It's like I'm owning woke. You know, that's a big controversy. And my thing is, I'm woke. I'm woke. I'm going to own it. My grandchildren now, Michael Harrison, they call me Boomer. So okay, fine, that's all right.
That's very funny. But what goes around comes around. The irony about boomers is that when we were young, we thought that we'd always be young, and that young rules the world, and that we're the hippest generation that ever existed, and we're going to change everything. And now, the worm has turned, as they say.
Yeah.
And I guess this is just perspective. I guess this is the way the wheel turns of life. You know.
Hey, remember the saying? Don't trust. Don't trust anybody over what? 40 or
over 30.
Over 30.
Over 30. Don't trust anyone over 30.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, when I turned 25, it was traumatic. It's like, oh my gosh. And back when we were broadcasting hip radio to the boomers, the hip audience was 18 to 34. I don't know if you go back far enough where that was the sweet spot. And when I turned 35, I'm now out of the demographic. I'm no longer hip.
I try to stay relevant. You know, I try. But let's
we can all try hard.
Let's talk about. And first of all, thank you so much for. Let's talk about the top 100. Boy, what a challenge. There are approximately how many talk radio personalities are there that you have to go through?
Answering that question scientifically is like answering how many stars are there in the universe. The answer is, I don't know how many talk show hosts there are out there, but I would say that there are several thousand that fall under our radar in terms of being in what we call the business on a relevant level. So to come up with 100 is extremely difficult. We use math and we use science, but we also have to use a certain degree of art and subjectivity in determining that. Because once you get past the top 20, there are many different people that could be in that next 80. And then there are some fabulous people around the country who are just not in the heavy 100, because the heavy 100 is as much a snapshot of the industry from a standpoint of all the different elements in it as it is a horse race based upon actual numbers, because that would be just very boring. So it's a difficult thing every year, and one of the things that surprises me is that I'm able to continue to have any kind of a position in this industry, putting out such a controversial list every year, and we've been doing that for the past 30 years.
Is it 30 years that that list has been the top
100? Yeah, about 30 years. It started out as the top 25, and then it went to 100. So
now do the personalities and need to have a national platform?
No. As a matter of fact, we're very, very cognizant of the importance of local radio. And that's why there are national hosts on there. There are local hosts on the list. There are men, there are women, there are white, there are black, there are brown. We try to do a certain amount of balance so that people looking at the industry from outside the industry don't fall into the trap of, well, everybody in talk radio is this, or everybody in talk radio is that. The industry has far more texture, far more variety, and there are very important people out there who might not have the same number of listeners as some of the bigger names, but they represent an important element of our culture and should be in there, because they could be part of the next wave that changes everything. Because the public mood and tastes, and back to that word we used before, hip, changes on a dime sometimes. And we have to always look ahead as well. So we try to see who the rising stars are and what are the important movements that maybe right now are not that big, but 2 years from now they may be gigantic. And we try to play, following the waves of movements and time that way. It's very complicated, but that's the answer to your question. It has variety on it, not just tonnage.
Michael Harrison, again, founder, publisher, editor of Talkers Magazine. It's been known as the Bible of talk radio. You pretty much own that. No problem with that?
No problem with what, that title?
Yeah.
We were dubbed that many, many years ago by Business Week magazine as the Bible of talk radio, and we changed it to the Bible of talk radio and the new talk media, because we knew all the way back in the 90s that the main challenge facing talk radio going into the 21st century was to be able to integrate itself into digital media from the old paradigm of AM and FM broadcasting, which is analog. So, some people say, we're arrogant, the self-described Bible of talk radio, but it was actually said about us by Business Week magazine many years ago, and it's stuck.
When satellite radio first started, the one thing I always remember, I was over at WOL, Kathy Hughes Radio 1, and
right.
Satellite radio, at then it was XM. And I guess then Sirius had a competing effort in New York. XM was in D.C.
Correct.
And we borrowed, satellite radio would borrow a couple of Kathy Hughes's stations for programming purposes, and air it. And now, what I always remember was they did not want satellite radio. We used to have these boot camps. They did not want satellite radio to sound like terrestrial radio, and that was a term I had to get used to, which means a land-based antenna somewhere out in the woods somewhere.
Correct.
It used to be, it was a conflict. It was, I mean, I have my cuss jar that I use every now and then because I watch and listen to Howard Stern. I said, oh, well, hell, if Howard Stern can do this, I can do it. And Sirius XM gave me permission to go. Yeah, go ahead. We don't care. Because we got all kind of channels over here. Mm-hmm. Who are talk radio listeners? And that's an open-ended question. I know that.
Who are they?
Yeah.
They're probably the most active listeners to this thing we call radio. More so than music listeners. Music is now in the background, and music no longer is the source of popular culture as it was when we were growing up. Popular culture today for young people comes through the social media and the gaming and the digital computer stuff. That's where they get their hip marching orders, so to speak. It doesn't come from music the way it did when we grew up. So music radio listeners are more passive. Talk radio listeners are paying attention to the foreground. They consume radio the way a television viewer watches TV or a reader looks at the printed page. And that's basically it. They're more involved and active. A case could be made that they're more affluent. A case could be made that they're more educated. But what are you comparing them to? Other radio listeners? Or are you comparing them to media consumers on a larger level? And it all overlaps. It's very hard to extract one kind of person and say, that's a talk radio listener. Just like saying that's a baseball fan and that's a football fan. Well, you know, many people are fans of both sports, and that's the way it is in media today.
Michael Harrison, I got to thank you so much. We could do this for hours. and thank you so much for coming on.
We'll always leave them wanting more. Congratulations on your number six spot on the Heavy 100. It's a magnificent accomplishment, and you are not just a broadcaster, but you are a social leader and a thought leader in this country, and that's the highest use of the platform to be able to change people's lives, not just fill their head with fun and frolic. You do both, and I applaud you. I really admire you, Joe.
Well, I appreciate that, and more important of all, I just appreciate your friendship for more years than we both want to remember.
But thank carry you. Carry on, my friend.
And the same with you, founder, publisher, and editor. Oh, and by the way, Talker Magazine is online, so people can go to talkermagazine.com.
Correct. Talkers.com. Talkers.com. Absolutely free. This is not a commercial plug. Yeah. It's out there for anybody interested in talk radio and talk media.
Talkers.com. Talkers.com.
Right.
Thank you, Michael Harrison. Talk with you
Thank
later.
Thank you, Joe.
All right. Okay, gang. 10 seconds, they tell me. So just enough time to say stay tuned, whatever. Appreciate it. Sherry, Sam, Daryl, all of you. Thank you very much. Don't go anywhere.
You see, the eagle is swift. Swift. It is said that the eagle can fly with such swiftness that his wings can be heard roaring in the air.
Do you know about the black eagle?
At the approach of a storm, he can zoom up above the storm, get out of the fury of the storm.
Strong and powerful, king of the sky, protecting all things with his his watchful eyes. Faithful creature to the Most High. What are the visions that he